Toko rua o ngā mema o te rōpū tōranga pūoreipa kei roto i tō tātou whare, ko Trevor Mellard, rāua ngātahi ko Melissa Ward. Kei roto i a tātou i tēnei wā e tahi atu o ngā mema o te rōpū reipa. Hoi no, ko rāua kei mua i au kia huri ake ki te whakatau mai a rāua. Trevor, Melissa, tēnā kōrua. Welcome to Te Hiku and the Whānau.
I'm Trevor and I'm here with Louisa and we're really enjoying our time. Thank you for our welcome.
Tamarie, Louisa. So, I have to say, when I saw you with one of them, Trevor, I thought, gee, he's a long way from home. What, too cold in your body?
Oh, wait, one year and that is having a couple of frosts at night, but the weather is just absolutely brilliant down there over the summer. In fact, we've got a problem. Not enough grass, especially on my lawn.
No. And Elizabeth, what's bringing you? Firstly, I have to ask, is there anyone from the Labour Party that's not in the very far north at this time? Because I know there are a number of other Labour parties around here at the moment.
Yes, Louisa. Actually all the Māori MPs. How about that? They're all down in Ōtautahi looking forward to Matatini. So one of us had to come up here. Look, I'm on a group with Trevor, Annette, David Shearer, Nanaya, and Kamau Sepuluni. We focus on health and society. So we took the opportunity to come up north and come to Kaitaia. We're going up to Te Kau later today. Actually, to visit with your business associations, your social and health providers, is an amazing opportunity up here, I think, for a sports hub. So, you know, we're here to listen and to understand what the needs and aspirations of the people of Te Huku are.
So is it the primary reason you're here? Because I know you're both part of the sporting arena in your roles as Labour MPs.
Well, I'm the spokesperson for sport, and we bring that together with health when we have our subcommittees within the Labour Party at Parliament. And so it's a group led by Annie King, mainly focusing on health, but sport is really a part of that. And the sports.
Well, can you divide the two? I mean, at the end of the day, health, sport.
Well, in the end, I'm really prejudiced. I think sport goes all over the place. I think it's part of economic development. I think it's part of education.
Yes.
But to be healthy, we've got to have physical activity.
Yes.
And it's been my focus for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. And it could be the glue too. Sports in the community, whānau.
It holds communities together and binds them. It gets people to meet people they wouldn't otherwise meet. It creates friendships. It's really, really important.
So with the hub, Louisa?
Yeah, no, I'm very supportive of the hub concept. I think that a facility such as that will also provide opportunities for young people. So I'm the Youth Affairs spokesperson for Labour.
Yes.
So I've got a particular passion and obviously a history in sport. So when I look at my life trajectory, actually it started because I had a passion and motivation, something that would get me out of bed, something that I loved, and then transferring actually a lot of those skills into the academic space meant that sport was first, but along the way I managed to get a degree, and then through the qualification I have, obviously now I'm in Parliament. So for me, the pathways that sport enable is also about the community coming together through sponsorship, through whakawhanaungatanga, and it is aspirational always, because if you play sport, you've always got a game or a competition that you're preparing for. You set goals, and actually to achieve those goals, you have to prepare. And so that whole process, I think, not only benefits whānau, but communities. And so I'm really, really supportive, and I'm hoping through your local, you've got your Far North District Council long-term plan happening. So the people we met yesterday really want the community to support the initiative so that the Far North District Council supports the initiative. I think the Make It Happen, Te Huku Make It Happen, have supported it. I hope Sport Northland will support it, and I think through a collective effort, if everybody puts it as a priority, for me then the money will take care of itself. Because you've got a whole lot of passionate people who are driving and trying to attain the same thing, which is quality facilities for the whānau here in Kaitaia.
I agree with you with regard to the fact that, you know, it's not just about that moment you're on the actual field or on the court or in whatever arena for sports. There's so much more that contribute to it, which is why we're talking about the glue, and it's a glue for whānau hapu region.
It is very much so, and I think it's important to the economy, because you do want people to be coming here to play sport. You don't want everyone to always have to go away. So if regional things can be happening up here. That's really important. Occasionally, national, you know, for smaller sports, national competitions, it means that you're drawing people in rather than always sending people away. And I think that's something that's really important in the far north.
Absolutely. And in a few weeks' time, we've got the Hau Taiwa, which has been going for a number of years, where there's the marathon and half marathon down the whole of Te Onirua Atoki. And we get an influx of people. So, yes, with regard to bringing people in, yes. So that's the hub. You mentioned you're also going to be travelling to, or further north, today to visit one of our hauora centres, Whakawhiti Ora Pai.
I think the kaupapa is the same. It's looking at what services are provided, but also looking at what's not provided and how we can, understand the needs, so that when we're in government, we can prioritise some of the spending so that it's specifically spent in the north. One of the things really yesterday through your Kaitaia Business Association, for example, was the need for ICT development. So ultra-fast broadband actually is connecting everybody, not only in communities, but in New Zealand and globally. And so it seems the community in the far north haven't had the access to ultra-fast broadband that they should. And in fact, if you look at the government's rollout plan, it goes to 2019, and Kaitaia in the far north actually aren't the priority. They prioritised Whangarei, and they have had their rollout, but I think one of the challenges is to make sure that the areas that don't have it, not just where the largest concentrations of population are, but actually the areas that don't have it should get it, and how are we going to assist that process, which means you can do business, as I said, all over Aotearoa.
And with regard to our health centres, I mean, the rollout, the broadband, the accessibility, it's become more of a necessity as opposed to just...
Well, it's not a luxury, actually.
No.
It should be a normal, everyday entitlement. Because actually, it's a communication medium now that is not only personal, but actually it's about economic development. It's about connecting. It's about sharing information with others so that you can create markets that you never knew you had. Especially with honey. I mean, that was one of the other very important industries that was highlighted yesterday.
And growing quite well. But if I could just go back to Whakawhiti Ora Pai, you mentioned that you're going up there to see what services are happening and what services are possibly needed. That sort of communication, would it not be part of your knowledge base anyway? Do they, as you know...
Well, I think our knowledge base develops by talking to people around the country and finding out what's different. I mean, Annette King and I were really lucky. We've been ministers for Annette's case for about 10 years, and me for about 9. So you sort of know how the system works.
Right.
But often if you're just reading reports where some regional office has written to a head office and they write 5 versions and it goes off to a parliamentary committee, by the time it gets here, it's really, really bland.
I understand what you're saying.
Getting there face-to-face is something which works really, you know, really well. And the other thing is sometimes the advice can go back. I mean, Annette's got quite a lot of information about health budget for next year, starting in July this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to place some real pressure on health services up here, because the DHB is going to be badly squeezed. And I think we're already seeing some contractions. And, you know, it sort of goes against the grain. You know, I'm of the generation that's always believed that you want to keep on improving your health services.
Okay.
And as technology develops, there's more and more things that we should be doing to get and keep people healthy.
Mm.
And if you're squeezing it back the way that appears to be happening, it's always areas of that are remote from Wellington, and with the areas of deprivation are the ones that suffer the most.
Mm.
And it's just beginning to look like, you know, in the next couple of years, the pressure could be quite bad here.
Mm. Pretty good. We've got a general election coming up with the vacation of a seat. We have the lovely Willow Jean Prime standing for Labour. What's the Labour stance on deep sea oil drilling?
Our stance on that is not an absolute definite either way or the other. But what we're not convinced yet is that the systems are in place to make sure that it's safe. And that's a really important thing. What we're saying is no drilling until it can be proven to be safe, and we think we're a reasonable distance away from that now. I think we've seen internationally lots and lots of accidents, and the the fact that the systems are not protective of the environment is clear. Now, the National Party has quite a different view. They just, you know, they want to go and drill like hell. And there are some other people who will say, you know, we're never, ever going to get that oil out of there. We're sitting somewhere between the extremes, which is not always a comfortable place to sit. We're never going to say never, never.
Yeah, so just on that, Trevor, Lisa, with regard to fossil fueling, but we'll just hold that for a moment. Is there a checklist on what you're saying until it's proven to be safe? Is there a checklist that you can tick off and say, yes, that makes it assuredly safe?
Not even the checklist exists at the moment.
So the
checklist needs to be developed.
Yes.
Before and agreed.
Right, yes.
It's not just some oil company's checklist.
Yes,
it's got to be something which.
So how will you find this checklist? I mean, because I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Until you know affirmatively that it is safe, so how will you come to that? That's
what you have environmental agencies for, and it will be their job to develop the checklist. It will then be the community's job to buy into the fact that that checklist is fair and everything that needs to be on it is on it, and then the applications could be considered.
So right now we have the testing. We have a three-year testing in front of us. When they get to the end of the 3 years, I'm just looking ahead.
Sure.
When they get to the end of the 3 years and they found, holy moly, there is oil in them dear waters, they are not about to wait for any checklist, are they?
Yeah, sure, they won't want to.
And what will the government of the day, I dare say?
I tell you what, the really good thing about oil is that it never goes away. It's not like a lot of agricultural resources where they're sort of like time limited. Obviously people want the wealth that comes from it, but it's not like a diminishing resource.
So what is the stance of the Labour Party with regard to fossil fuel and the doing away with fossil fuel? What are we looking environmentally ahead in the future?
In the long term, of course, you've got to. I mean, we did a lot of work in development of biodiesel, a lot of work around solar. Mm. We did the geothermal electricity. So I spent a bit of time as Minister of Energy and we were progressing a lot of it. Now, part of the problem is when you have a national government, they want the money and they want it now. It's about the money and it's not about the people and it's not about the environment.
Absolutely, I hear you.
And so what we've got to do is we've got to move back to it being about the people and about the environment. You can't ignore money totally.
But you also can't ignore your health and life, and we're talking environment.
Absolutely, and you can destroy, you know, massive communities. I mean, I'm facing, because there's a thing called the Pinkarra Basin, not far away from Wainuiomata, which is another place where they want to drill. And, you know, I'm part of a group there which is saying, you know, we don't know this is safe, just leave the damn stuff there.
But they are doing major work down there already, though, Trevor.
They are.
Where do you start? Where do you start to say stop?
What the Labor Party has done is made it clear to the oil companies is that the automatic rollover that they would get from National won't happen under Labor. Under National, you run your testing, you have your 3 year period, you find some oil, and you automatically go for it. Well, that will not be the case under Labor.
So you get an exploratory licence, and what we're saying is that to continue it, if you did find it, there would be a whole set of criteria that we would develop with industry and community before it could progress.
So just with the exploratory licence, that's happening right now, we're seeing a lot of beached whales. Has there been irrefutable proof to say this is not why our whales are beaching themselves?
The answer that I haven't seen that proof, but I've also been around for a long time, and I know that whales have beached well before this drilling.
Oh no, I'm not talking about just this drilling. They've been beaching themselves worldwide.
Yeah.
But remembering there are worldwide tests going on all the time, so
I don't want to argue too much about this, but I think They've been beaching themselves a long way away from where there has been drilling too.
Yes.
You know, you think especially if you're all spitting places like that.
Well, I mean, we could get the research that looked at the frequency. I mean, there would be an organisation in New Zealand that would keep those statistics. So we're happy to get those for you.
So just to conclude, Labour is saying, well, we're not for or against deep sea oil drilling. We are working towards the affirmative that it is safe.
We're against it for now until it's proven.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, the Labour is of no yes or no.
Well, essentially, we want a moratorium. You would call it a moratorium.
Yes.
Until such time as that criteria.
Well, shouldn't that moratorium be on testing, on looking to see if there's oil there? Should the moratorium not be in place now?
There's a lot of that testing which is occurring, especially close to them, which we would not approve.
Okay. Just to conclude, and I know I'm just on the final moments with you, I believe you also went to see our wonderful Mr. From Korowai Rehousing, Ricky Houghton.
Isn't that superb? I mean, what a great idea, rescuing those houses, which are wonderful, solid. You look at them, they're solid as.
Built when homes were built to be solid.
That's right, built. Proper apprenticeships in my area, often Maori trade training. Really, really, really good houses built under good systems, and they were going to go under the bulldozers or the diggers to rip them apart. I think it's superb, and the approach to it, I think, is very, very special. If I lived up here, I'd be just so proud of that.
You wouldn't qualify, Trevor. I think the wonderful thing is that actually the orientation of the houses means that the decks face a field. Everybody will watch the children. There's an early childhood education centre on site.
Yes.
It's next door to the primary. So actually at the heart of it are our kids. So for me it's a wonderful development. And you're right. I mean, I think the different organisations coming in to Tautoko, the kaupapa, fix these houses, they're beautiful, and so I want to commend the trust. Obviously, they've come from, there's a bit of mamai. I'm sure the whānau will know that, you know, they've come from GI, and there are issues about families there being displaced, but I think overall what we're doing with those houses is going to build a solid community base for the future and enable some of our kids to have different lives. And so, hey, we are here to support and do whatever we can to add a bit more value to the site, because I know that they could put a lot more houses on there. So I look forward to seeing when that's opened and whānau in there. And yeah, so kia ora.
Lovely. Thank you very much to both of you for coming in and sharing some time with us this morning. And have a safe trip to Whakawhiti Orapai and home to your prospective kāinga.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Obviously, we do have a by-election. I mean, I think from the 11th of March, early voting starts, and so people who aren't enrolled have an opportunity to enrol and vote. So, you know, we've got to have our say. If people are really dissatisfied or unhappy with this government, for me, this is a game changer. And actually, we could stop the government doing a lot of things if they don't win the seat. Obviously, we think we've got an amazing candidate, Willow Jean Prime, who's also on the Far North District Council.
Candidate.
She's born and bred. She's a Northlander. Her family lives here. She lives here. Her future's here. And obviously we think she'd be a wonderful asset not only to Parliament but also to our Labour caucus.
Thank you very much again. Thank you both of you, Trevor. Luisa, tēnā kōrua.
Kia ora.